Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. I'm your host and moderator, Troy Skinner. Frederick Faith Debate is an open and honest forum for our local faith community leaders to share and discuss their views of the truth. Thomas Jefferson said that the clash of ideas is the sound of freedom. And in that spirit, we seriously wrestle with important ideas. And our hope is that through our wrestling, you will develop a better understanding of the truth about the most important issues that face us in this life. This week, we're going to talk about unity. Why can't those darn Christians get along? I'm here to talk about that, Conrad Link, pastor of Brook Hill United Methodist, Bob Lehman, pastor of Bethel Evangelical Lutheran Church, and John Schweitzer, the pastor of Crossroad Valley Chapel in Frederick. Thank you all for being on the show again. This is at least your second, third, or fourth time on for all of you. So, and in John's case, I don't know, it's like an infinite number of times he's been on. I'm going to start. I want to read something that my aunt, who lives in Florida, sent to me not that long ago, and I think it's a good launching off a place for our discussion today. It's a devotional that was written by Max Lucado, and it's called Division or Unity. Suspicion and distrust often lurk at God's table. Around the table, the siblings squabble and the father sighs. The father sighs because he has a dream. I have other sheep that are not in this flock, and I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. That's John 10:16. God has only one flock. We're back to Max Lucado now. Somehow we miss that. Religious division is not his idea. The flock has one shepherd, and though we may think there are many, we are wrong. There is only one. Never in the Bible are we told to create unity. We are simply told to maintain the unity that exists. Paul exhorts us to preserve the unity which the Spirit gives, Ephesians 4:3. Our task is not to invent unity, but to acknowledge it. I have two sisters and a brother. We are siblings because we came from the same family. We have the same father and mother. I'm sure there have been times when they didn't want to call me their brother, but they didn't have that choice. Nor do we. When we see someone calling God Father and Jesus Savior, I meet a brother or a sister. What would happen, I know this is a crazy thought, but what would happen if all the churches agreed on a given day to change their names to simply church? What if any reference to any denomination were removed and we were all just Christians? And then when people chose which church to attend, they wouldn't do so by the sign outside, they'd do so by the hearts of the people inside. And then when people were asked what church they attended, their answer wouldn't be a label, just a location. And then we Christians wouldn't be known for what divides us. Instead, we'd be known for what unites us, our common Father. Crazy idea? Perhaps. But I think God would like it. It was his to begin with. Again, that was written by Max Lucado. It was sent to me in the form of an email. I don't know if that's a portion of one of his books or if it's part of a internet thing that he does or whatever. I'm not sure. But it does beg the question, as I started at the very beginning of the show, why the heck can't the Christians get along? To set the context of this conversation right now for this show, I understand that there's Eastern Orthodox tradition, and there's a Roman Catholic tradition, and there's a Protestant tradition, and there are probably other various traditions as well. But for the most part, since the three of you are representing various Protestant denominations or independent churches that are Protestant in their orientation, why can't even the Protestant churches get along? Or are they getting along and I'm misunderstanding something? Does anybody feel like they want to tackle it first?
Well, I'll say something to begin.
All right, Conrad.
First, good morning. We do get along and we don't get along. We do get along in the sense that there are a lot of churches, certainly in the Frederick community, as well throughout the world, that have a common mission, a common purpose, a common desire to share the faith, common goal to care for the poor, the hungry, the needy, a common desire to put resources together to respond to crises. So many ways the churches all work together. Your question is, when we work together, do we still carry our different labels? And the answer is yes, we do that. That's a tough question. If we had unity, boy, that world would be great. I'd love it. I'd love to be able to say that we truly are Christian in purpose and design, in title and anything else. One of the problems we have is that we, I believe, that we have 90% in common. Christians have 90%. It's the way we function, in other words, the way we run our churches, or the way we educate our clergy, or the way we deal with our laity, or any number of things that separate us. And we tend to focus on those things and not the 90% of the things that unite us. So I'll just start with that remark.
How many ministerial councils are there in the Frederick area?
Organized ministerial councils, I think two. There's what I know as the Frederick Ministerial Association. That's the primarily the downtown churches. And then there's an Evangelical Ministerial Association, which I think is mostly around the county, around Frederick City. That's my understanding.
Yeah, and I think there's one other, unfortunately, that represents some of the congregations that would be more minority that aren't able to meet during the week. And I think there's a another, I don't know the name of it, that meets like on the weekends for those pastors that wouldn't be able to, you know, meet in one that would be meeting during the week, because the pastors also have other jobs, you know, during the week, so they can't make it.
Well, there are regional ones. I mean, there's a Walkersville Ministerial Association. There's a Emmitsburg and Thurmont areas, and there's Brunswick. So, I mean, there's smaller ones. But the principal Frederick, what I call Frederick City, would be the two that I'm aware of.
Now, Conrad, you indicated that, you know, it might be geographical, or, and John, you mentioned it might be because of time constraints and the people have to meet at different times. But I've also heard that there's, you know, a difference of opinion, and that, you know, some members of one council kind of look down on members of another council, and they won't be a part of that organization or whatever. Bob, you haven't had a chance to chime in yet. Should we have one? Is it okay to have two or three or 12? Or, I mean, what's at the root of all this?
Well, I couldn't really speak to Frederick's ministerium. Just not as familiar with it being more recently coming back to Frederick County. But one of the things I think we need to make clarification for, first of all, is, when we talk about Jesus Christ, we talk, you know, one faith, one hope, one baptism. And, you know, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's what truly unifies us, his message of his life, death, and resurrection. But the other piece is uniformity. I think we need to make some clarification. Is just because we are not uniform in the same way that we do things, either on Sunday morning or the kinds of worship styles, the things that make us unique, we need to be able to embrace as congregations. And as Conrad was saying, is then be able to look to those things that do yoke us together through scripture, through tradition, through worship. Those are the things that can make us united with one another.
Now, Bob and Conrad, you might not deal with this as much because you've got, Conrad, you have Methodist in the name
sure.
of your church, and Bob, you have Lutheran in the name of your church. But John, I know you must run into this when people find out you're a pastor and you tell them, oh, I'm pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel.
Yeah.
They don't ask you if you're a Christian church, right? They ask you, what kind of church are you?
Yeah.
Are you a Baptist
yeah.
church?
Oh, all the
are
time.
You a Lutheran church?
Yeah,
what are,
yeah.
So what do you make of that kind of question? And is it an important question?
Yeah, I think it's always an important question. And I find that that the bottom line, that what people are looking for when they ask me that kind of question, most of them that go that far that are, you know, thinking to themselves, oh, I wonder what kind of church that is. They're wanting to place me, you know, in terms of the spectrum of the body of Christ. And so, you know, I answer it that I come from a Baptist background with my father, in that we've embraced certain elements of the charismatic, the spirit-filled life that they would reject from Scripture. And so I use that kind of as a foundation to kind of place where we're coming from, and then, you know, what it is that we believe now.
Now, I don't want to be presumptive. I mean, I know, for example, that with Lutherans, you know, that doesn't mean the same thing to everybody. There's what's called the ELCA. There's
right.
the Missouri Synod.
Even more conservative branch called the Wisconsin Lutherans. I mean, so there's a number of different, when you come to the brands of different kinds of Lutherans. But the other thing that I would say is that I don't think brand affinity is as much of a concern for people today, especially if they are new to a community. They're more interested in the congregation, the life that the church is embracing, the kind of worship that they have, the kind of Bible study that I don't think it's as important whether you're Lutheran or Methodist or you grew up in UCC, United Church of Christ, in terms of coming to worship in your congregation. I don't know if that answered your question, Troy, but I don't think brand affiliation is as important as it used to be maybe 20 years ago.
John, Conrad, do you think that's true?
No, I think Bob's right. But I think one of the issues about the whole concept of unity is illustrated by the nature of your questions this morning, Troy, is already that you're illustrating the problem with unity by picking out the pieces that separate us. If we're going to talk about unity, let's talk about the things that unite us. And I truly do believe, again, reiterating, I believe that there are a lot of things that unite us more than divide us. The problem is it's really fun, in a sarcastic sort of response, really fun to find how we're different from each other. The challenge is to live the things that we hold in common with each other. I mean, what makes us brothers and sisters in Christ is what we hold in union with each other. And I think we do hold things in union. I believe there are things that go on in Jonathan's church that I can embrace. I think the basic context of what he's preaching, the message, what he wants his people to do and grow and become is the same context as what happens in Bob's church, the same context that happens in my church. That's church. I think we ought to celebrate that. That's what unity is. The problem is we do it in different ways. And maybe that's what we, you know, tend to highlight, is how we do things differently.
You know, I think the basis of unity is very key. And so far today, we're saying that the basis of our unity is Christ as Protestants and as Christians. I think, like, when my wife and I talk unity in our marriage, there's a certain number of things that we have to agree on in order to stay married. You know, when I think about who I want to do business with, there's a certain amount of things I got to agree with the other, with the people I want to do business on in order to do business with them. Same thing's true with a nation. I'm not going over to Iraq to live in Iraq. There were certain reasons why I would choose to live in the United States. Well, the same thing's true, you know, when it comes to unity. You know, what is the basis of unity in the Christian church? And it seems like there's two major groups in the body of Christ right now that had the most difficult time squaring off with one another. And the basis of unity, I think, comes down to whether or not we believe that the Bible is exactly to be trusted as it's written, or whether or not we can take parts of the Bible and interpret certain things out of them, meaning, you know, the Bible says this, but I don't believe we really have to follow that, and this is why. And that ultimately, to the extent that we are in agreement on what that says, like, you know, salvation, who is saved and who's not saved, or issues like morality, is it moral to do this, is it not moral to do this? Those kinds of issues, ultimately, even in the body of Christ, really, I think, are the big issues that are the most difficult to get past. However, those people that I might disagree with about those things that call themselves Christians, that I might personally say, well, I don't think they are Christians. They call themselves Christians, but I don't think they follow Scripture enough. I'd still be more than happy to serve the poor with those guys. I wouldn't mind my kids growing up with their kids. You know, I can be neighbors with those guys. You know, so the point is just because there's a division on you know, clarification of what is the truth and what is not the truth when it comes to Scripture, that doesn't automatically mean that, you know, I'm unwilling to be a friend or to do business or, you know, live in a community with those people.
It seems to me that sometimes there's a cycle. And I'm, from a purely, you know, man on the street, you know, shoe meets the pavement kind of a perspective, this is, you know, more anecdotal than anything else. But it seems like those who don't take, you know, their church going and their religion all that seriously don't really care all that much about the different labels and the different doctrines and theological beliefs of different churches. Then those who take it a little more seriously, all of a sudden they start to get worried, like, oh, wait a minute, now I want to make sure I have right and proper teaching. And sometimes barricades go up. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to associate with somebody that has, you know, something, some view that's different than theirs, because maybe they're not secure enough in their own view yet and they don't feel like they can get involved with somebody else. It'll just confuse them. And then maybe as you get into a more mature level beyond that, then you're maybe more willing to embrace others again and look for those commonalities. Is that, I mean, again, that's kind of been my anecdotal experience in dealing with different people when they ask me, hey, what church you go to? And I tell them and they say, oh, well, what do you guys believe? You know, that's the kind of question that I get from somebody who's kind of in that middle group I was talking about. Somebody else might not even care what church I go to. Mm-hmm. They go to a church themselves. And then somebody else who's been a Christian for their whole life, or doesn't matter, they can be a Christian for a short time, be very mature in their faith, and they might get into a more serious-minded discussion, and not in a judging way and not in a separatist's kind of a way. Has that been your experience, or is that just my experience?
I'm going to say yes and no. I always say that, though. I'm going to say yes, it is the case that as in any growing into any career or anything that you might be learning, you're going to go through stages like that where at first you kind of don't care, but then you really care, but then you kind of grow beyond that to where you can be open to everything again. But in addition to that are issues of genuine disagreement where – like, for example, issues of morality like abortion, homosexuality, issues like the death penalty or contraception, these kinds of things that that the late Pope was kind of known for drawing a line in the sand and saying, you know, certain things are clearly outside of scriptural bounds, things like saying that anybody can go to heaven, you know, and you don't need to come through Christ, you know, statements like that would create a separation and would draw the line bigger than other people would draw the line. Some of those issues are just unable to be bridged because they define differently who is saved and who is not saved and what is absolute truth and what is not absolute truth.
Yeah, but I think that one of the premises of your program this morning, Troy, is from your quote, from your reading at the beginning of the show. That talked about the father sitting down with the family at the children. You know, okay, a father is the image of God, and all the rest of us are the image of children. It seems to me that already we keep falling, even in this conversation, keep falling into pointing out all the differences. Why can't we agree, if we're sitting at the table, on a few basic commonalities, a few things that we hold in union, and find that those things are absolutely essential? For example, Jonathan brings up the scriptures. Why don't we simply say to be a Christian, you must believe in the Bible or say that the Bible is the Word of God? Don't add lots of adjectives. Don't add explanations. Just say the Christian has as their book the Bible. Okay? The Christian has as their Savior Jesus. You know, the Christian has as the goal to go to heaven. You know, why can't we find those things? Why can't we begin unity in the conversation unity, pointing out the things that we all hold in agreement? Not long paragraphs to explain, but little things that we agree and start.
Well, I don't disagree with that, and I want to give Bob Lehman a chance to respond in a second. But first, somebody who's joined us the last few minutes has no idea what's going on right now. So let me tell you what's going on. You're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. The voice you just heard was that of Conrad Link, pastor of Brook Hill United Methodist. Before that, John Schweitzer, pastor of Crossroad Valley Chapel. Here in a second, you're going to hear from Bob Lehman, pastor at Bethel Evangelical Lutheran Church. We're talking about church unity, mostly from a Protestant perspective. I think we'll have these three on next week as well. Talk about the more universal Christian church and unity issues there as well. And by the way, I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show that this show is thankfully sponsored by AllShred Mobile Document Destruction, shredding today for growth tomorrow. 1-877-2-SHRED. That's 1-877, the number 2, SHREDD. AllShred, they sell security. All right, all that's done. Bob.
All right, thank you. Well, the only thing I would just piggyback from what Conrad was saying is that taking those things that we as Christians can hold in common is the first step. The next step, which I find the most difficult sometimes, is trying to help people to be able to articulate their faith in a clear way. You know, they haven't really ever had an opportunity, and when somebody does, it's like their jaw drops to the ground. Moving beyond, you know, I go to church every Sunday, I teach Sunday school for the last 25 years, you know, I set up the altar on Saturday morning. But, you know, what is it that Jesus Christ does in my life that informs it, that molds me, that helps me to live my life as Christ would like me to do that? That's the key piece also in terms of unity, because I think if we were able to do that, again, I think we're going to be able to find more unity with one another, crossing over those denominational lines that we've had created for centuries.
And it's interesting. That's one of the motivations behind the start of this show a number of months back when we decided to do this show, was to have this sort of a dialogue in a public forum so that, one, anybody who might listen would recognize that it's okay to talk about these things. Mm-hmm. It's okay to disagree about these things as long as you're being open and honest and friendly toward the other person, and wrestle with these things and figure it out. And this might seem highfalutin, and I don't want to be self-aggrandizing, but part of what I'm hoping this show will accomplish is that people will learn how to have these discussions and what the points of discussion can be or might be. I think this happened years ago when I was growing up. You were told never talk about politics, never talk about religion. And we've been taught how to talk about politics, and that it's okay to talk about politics because the media, talk radio and cable television and those sorts of things has made it part of the public landscape. And I think if more of that happens with religion as well, that all of a sudden we'll start talking about these sorts of things, and people's jaws won't drop and they won't give a blank stare. Well, I don't really know. I just know that I put a dollar in when they pass the plate.
Well, heavens, the only thing preachers do is talk about religion and politics, whether it's contemporary or historical or biblical or whatever.
Yeah. But the point religion is that people who aren't pastors to be sure. doing it as well. That's the hope.
Well,
anyway.
In a sense, I think one of the things that our job as pastors and people are doing, and I remember this quote from a seminary professor is that whether we think about it or not, we as pastors, we're teaching people to be theologians. I mean, everybody's a theologian. They're going to create a theology of what their life is going to be. And our job, our task as ordained, is to help people to be informed and to create a theology that's going to be scriptural, part of tradition. Embrace the unity of Christ and embrace the love that we are to have for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Now, I'm going to, again, I use Max Lucado's devotional as kind of a launching point. To launch us into the last portion of today's show, I'm going to use a joke that probably you've heard before. And it's not theologically correct, in my opinion, but it's a joke, so what are you going to do? A Christian recently deceased goes to heaven. He's met at the pearly gates by St. Peter, right? Or an angel, or whoever you want to say would meet him at the pearly gates, and gives him a tour of heaven. And he says, in this room we have the Lutherans, and in this room we have the Methodists, and over here we have the Roman Catholics. And he's giving a tour of all the various rooms of the mansion that is awaiting all the Christians in heaven. They get down toward the end of the hallway, and he says, shh, gotta be quiet down here. And he's like, why do we have to be so quiet on this end of the hall? He said, because the Baptists are in that room, and they think they're the only ones up here. Now, that is a joke that is directed towards Baptists and the most negative stereotype of Baptists. But you could make that about Methodists Lutherans or Presbyterians or whatever you want. What is it that inspires that sort of a joke? What is it? What's the mindset? What is the problem that's at the root of that sort of humor where it's you know what I mean? That's a cutting comment to say.
It is, and I would approach it and invite the others to respond. The very thing that I said at the beginning of your program is we have 90% in common. And if we could celebrate the 90% in common, then I think we'd be better for it. The difficulty is that we all want to be, in some form or fashion, the exclusive group. We all want to say that we have it, we know it, we understand it, we do it better than those other people down the road. And as soon as we move into that arrogance, I think we lose the purpose and the value and the integrity of what the Christian message is. But we too tend to say that about each other. And I think that's the terrible thing. And I think that's why when your illustration is of everybody sitting at the table with the Father, why the Father shakes his head with sadness. It's because we tend to focus on the 10% that we do different.
See, now there's cultural differences, though, and there's doctrinal differences. And my experience is that many of the doctrinal differences are actually just cultural differences that people didn't take enough time to talk through what they meant by what they were saying, and as a result, they really didn't get through to a genuine agreement on stuff. However, there's clearly a divide, and I guess I just have to come back to this, here in Frederick, the divide between the Evangelical Ministerial Fellowship and FMA was a doctrinal divide that specifically came down to issues of morality. In fact, from what I understand, it was around the issue of abortion in particular, and whether or not some of those things needed to be interpreted more precisely from Scripture, or whether or not we should be of the opinion that maybe Scripture wasn't so clear about it. And to this day, that's really the major division between those two groups of people. And I guess I'd like to hear whether or not that division is still there, because I hang out with the Evangelical Ministerial Fellowship, and those guys are not willing to make any kind of compromise on those issues.
FYI, we have about 30 seconds left. Conrad, if there's a possible way to answer that in 30 seconds.
The simple answer is I was president of the ministerial that you're speaking to for 2 years. I've been vice president. I've been part of it for 13 years. That topic and issue has never been brought up in the 13 years that I've been associated with the Frederick Ministerial Association. So if that's an issue, that's an issue, obviously, that our group has never addressed.
Okay, well, maybe we can talk about it some more next week as we kind of pick up and carry this thread a little deeper on the whole unity question. And by the way, in case anybody's wondering, we're talking about unity and stuff, and we have a bunch of Protestant pastors here. An effort was made to get somebody who's not a Protestant on the show. Schedules weren't able to make that happen. We hope to have those various views on. Maybe we'll talk about this again when we can have a Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox, or whatever, on the show as well and talk about this. So we're not excluding them on purpose. It's just one of those scheduling things. Anyway, you've been listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. Thanks to Conrad Link from Brook Hill Methodist, United Methodist, Bob Lehman from Bethel Evangelical Lutheran Church, and John Schweitzer from Crossroad Valley Chapel. I'm Troy Skinner. Thanks so much for listening. And again, our sponsor, we want to thank them, AllShred, mobile document destruction, AllShred. They sell security. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.